Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We're also lucky to have on a variety of guests sharing their stories and expertise. By the way, this also happens to be our 100th episode. That's kind of a big deal. We're going to celebrate, but I'm telling you, when I say we're excited for guests, we say it all the time. I mean it. Like you don't have to be excited. I'm excited. Joining us in the studio today is a local and national legend, a man that is a beacon of light in a world often filled with darkness, motivational keynote speaker, author, sports analyst for the SEC Network, the founder of the Patrick Young Foundation, local legend, and incredible human being. Welcome, Patrick Young.
What's going on? I don't know about the national legend part, but local.
Dude, we're going to get
local
there.
Local in Florida. that I guess.
We call them BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals.
That's fair.
You are a local legend. You are a statewide legend, and you're getting to that status of
striving to
international legend.
You just want to be responsible with the platform you have today, so like you're prepared for when, as things grow, and you know maybe things get stagnant. Either way, for me, I just like take on the perspective that God's the one that opens these doors in the first place. You know, so who am I to freak out if things slow down or speed, whatever. Like I just go with whatever happens.
So whatever happens, you're on board.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you joining us. I reached out to your foundation. We're going to talk about the Patrick Young Foundation through the email. You text me on the side. I was like, oh man, is this really Patrick Young?
It's hilarious. Yeah.
So welcome to the show, man.
Yeah. I think it's so funny. It's been a few times that, some people have reached out on my website and I've called them or text them, like, you know, depending on what they're saying and what it's about. I didn't think you would call me. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel as though, the more impact you can have, you have more impact when you're authentic and you show up for people, try to do that.
So I'm going to ask you a weird question here. Do you have an assistant that combs your emails and say respond to this one, or you're doing all this?
No, well, I have a manager with the foundation, but you know, we see when you send a request in, it goes to info@pyfoundation.org, and like a few of us, like, we see it, and if there's something, like, if I don't see it, like, she'll take care of it. Or it's not like I don't have an official email sifter.
You don't have a full-time person saying yes to this, no to that.
No.
You will soon enough.
Yeah, that'd be great. Absolutely, for sure.
So let's start. You want to go start off what topic? Foundation first? Story first?
Speaking first? All the pillars are so good, because I mean, I have good and bad business stories. I have healthcare. I mean, I think where, you know, I just came from an appointment. And I guess that'll be a good transition there. Speaking of healthcare, there's this place here in Jax called Reflections.
Reflections. We love shout outs.
And you know, the reason I got to give them a shout out, it's the first nurse owned and nurse operated wound care center in the country.
Dude, let's go.
Right?
Local here. What's her name or his name?
Tracy. Tracy's
coming on. Let's hear about it.
Oh, you got it. Yes.
Dude.
If you could ever get her to get time, and like that's her baby, you know, that place. They heal so many people. And the reason I love that place and wanted, really willing to shout them out. So I've been going to them for about a month.
Reflections. Just for wound care.
Okay. And hyperbaric chamber. That's another thing that
Big
they offer there. Huge
Big deal.
Like, they care. They don't see, you know, and look, and when you're attached to a hospital, you know it. You got to hit numbers. You got to get people through. You have to, because it's all about reimbursements. Tracy is not like, and she'll tell you, she was like one of those child prodigies.
Yeah.
That was like in the hospital doing stuff at age 16, like went to college that young and all that. Like, has been there, done a lot of awesome things. And she's like, I literally just want to help people heal. Like they have, it's so amazing, man. Like they have helped people that really just can't afford a service like that and said, you know what? We're going to cover the cost a lot of people that end up coming, like there were some patients they've had that were on hospice that they've been able through hyperbaric and other things that they've done there. I'm like, That's amazing.
Right off the bat.
It's amazing.
I wrote all these notes down. We're talking about all this stuff and boom, hard
yes, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're like wound care for those who aren't clinical, right? If you have a bed sore, any type of wound,
yeah.
If you don't take care of it and heal it, it can progress and get worse.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important that you said that, you know, for people that don't understand or know much about my injury, I have a spinal cord injury. And when you have a spinal cord injury, depending on your level, and when they say that, you know, you got your C, your T, and your L of your...
I love this, dude. No, I know, I'm a nurse at trade. By trade, I don't even know that.
Right,
I love this.
Your cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spine. And depending on like where your spinal cord gets injured, below that level, there's a disconnect. No longer that communication of your brain telling your toe to wiggle. Is operating in the same way. So, you know, you lose that sensation of motor function and sensitivity. You have to, and I was talking to somebody about this today, there's three pillars of having a great life with a spinal cord injury. Three pillars.
Love it.
Take care of your skin, take care of your bladder, and take care of your bowels. Take care three of those things, if you even sacrifice one, it affects not only just the immediate moment of your life of like, oh man, I went to the bathroom on myself and I got it cleaned up. Like that just affects your ability to be independent again. Of saying like, I was told the young boy that I was talking to today, I said, discipline with those three areas, discipline unlocks freedom.
So I'm gonna, it unlocks freedom. I wanna say it back, skin, bladder, bowels.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing where was your injury? What level?
Yeah, so I guess I'll do a quick synapse, because you know my car accident, it wasn't anything like crazy in terms of speeding or I got hit, just like it wasn't like it just was the irresponsibility of me not wearing my seatbelt, not being aware in the moment, you know, just one of those things where you're casual and you're like, you know, I'm only going up 2 miles up the road, like not a busy highway in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska, but so I'm going up this incline, coming back down it, stop signs way closer than I was prepared, couldn't stop in time, turned the car completely parallel to the two-lane highway, and the momentum of my car just kept going off the road, ended up rolling over one time. And I, you know, and they say this, you know, drunk people, when they get in accidents, usually don't get as injured because they're loose. And yep. I stiffened up and tried to brace. And I remember just, I kind of twisted and contorted this way and felt a pop in my back around T7, T8. Well, hurt my shoulder, ended up fracturing my scapula, fractured my ribs. Man, bruised and fractured ribs.
Oh, that's unbearable.
Man.
How old were you
How do football players do it, man?
We'll go to that.
Right?
How old were you when the wreck happened?
I was 30.
30. Okay. So, freak accident, not going that fast. One roll in the car.
One roll. That was it.
This is good for parents, right? To reinforce seatbelts.
Yeah.
What does that change? The speed at which you were going, you don't have to be going that fast.
Do you know how fast you have to be going for it to be called trauma, or how high you have to fall from for it to be called trauma?
30? So it's three times your height for falling, and I think it's 25 miles an hour.
15 miles per hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Times have changed.
You do that on a bicycle.
Correct.
Yeah, 15 miles per hour.
Damn.
Dang.
Yeah, so isn't that something?
I do want to go back to fracturing ribs in sports. at this point, do you mind sharing more about that? Like where you were in life? Because I do want to talk about all the incredible stuff you're doing now.
Oh, man. At that point in life, I mean, I was in a really good place, I would think. And, you know, it's and you know, getting into this, it's still kind of like it's tough because I had, as we often do, like a dream, a vision of kind of what the next few years might look like. Or you don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but you have an idea of the realm of like, okay, I'm stepping into this chapter of being a husband and being a dad. You know, I'm excited for that chapter. I'm excited for what all is going to come with it. Don't I know exactly what's going to happen? No one does. But that's like, that's relationships. That's marriage. That's fatherhood. I was still working with the network at that time. That would have been year two, my second year working with the network. And it was actually, the accident was 10 days before my wedding date, which was, you know, just so surreal still to this point, because you know, like you're married, you went through the whole process, like just the dating and then figuring out like, yeah, this is my person, then getting engaged and like planning on making plans for the future and thinking about moving when you're moving in and like what which of your stuff is going to stay and go and all just those things that are exciting about that new chapter. It's like that vision, not that it still couldn't happen, but the way in which we wanted it to happen was gone. And just like that, just like that. And it's so crazy. The other day on the SEC Network, I was with Pat Bradley, Arkansas guy, the shooter, and he had a pin. And I think I posted this on Twitter. He had a pin that said, "Life can change on a dime." And I'm like, "Oh, Pat, let me see that pin." And under there, it had the scripture, James 4:14. Crazy. And it's a scripture pretty much talking about, you know, us not, why are we boasting about tomorrow? We have no idea what's going to happen. Like life can change in an instant. Today has enough for us to worry about. And like, it's not to be pessimistic, but like, truly, how much can we do we control? I had no control when I went to sleep, like my heart beat staying the way that it needs to for me to survive or making sure I'm getting enough oxygen in my system or, you know, but it's hard. It's hard sometimes to maintain that type of grateful perspective, especially when you feel like you're in the middle or like, you're just not able to let go of the past or you're fearful of the future. Like all it's, that's why gratitude, it's, you're making yourself so present. Dude, I believe
I have to, man. I have chills on a couple of things. You got something to ask?
No,
let me read one thing right here. Yeah. This is not ahead. I looked up a couple things. I saw a video. One day isn't on the calendar.
Yeah.
Do you remember saying that?
I do remember saying that.
I love that line.
Yeah.
And the gratitude side too. I mean,
You got
an unfortunate hand dealt to you. And like, how do you stay the way that you are? You're contagious for everyone. And that line, one day is not, it's not on the calendar. There is no one day.
Yeah. There was a guy that, I got that from, and he called it the runner up mindset, where it's always like, one day I'm going to start working on that book. One day I'm going to start working out, or I'm going to get to it when conditions are ideal. And not, I'm not saying that there aren't times where maybe you are in a season where you literally have to sacrifice workout time for getting some extra sleep or something. Whatever that is. And either way, it's, you know, if that's not your case, it's saying, hey, I don't know when they're ready is, but the hardest part is starting.
Yep.
You know, and that was what inspired me to start writing my book when I did.
We're going to hold this up right there. I think that's in there.
Oh,
that's a great pivot to the book, man. Yeah, like, I love it. That's a good screenshot right there.
That was, and even in writing this, man, that was a process where I always knew I wanted to write a book. I always
Sit
knew.
To Rise, by the way. Let me say that. We'll put a link in the show notes, but Sit to Rise.
Yep. And I'm glad, I think what's really cool about the title, I think that's the first thing that really captures people. So I'll explain how I got to that. There's one of the top 20 hospitals, outpatient rehab hospitals in the country is here.
You can name them.
That's Brooks Rehab.
They've been on. Yep. We love them.
Yeah. Love them. They're awesome. And, Doug Bear, the CEO, is buddy. Hey, go Gators. He's a big Gator guy. Got to shout that out. But, I was doing this day program there, which is incredible, where, it's kind of like a spinal cord rehab training camp. It's 6 weeks and it's from 9 to 2 o'clock. You know, you get a lunch break, but 9 to 2 o'clock of, you know, all of it isn't intense, but everything that you do is meaningful and purposeful. And the therapists are great. They have such fantastic personalities and making it. Cause you know, a lot of most injuries, spinal cord injuries are young men. It's not the funnest thing having to think about working on your rehab all the time. But that time I had, we had some exercises called sit to stand.
Oh.
Where you would sit and there's like this kind of, I don't even know what you would call it. It's not a walker, but just like think of a walker, but way bigger and more sturdy. And you use that to assist you to stand up when the electrodes that you had on would come on. And from there, I was like, man, I really like the idea of sitting. Like, I was sat down in order to stand up again to you know, when you're brainstorming, you're saying stuff and sit to rise. I'm like, you know, I didn't want to make it sound blasphemous or sacrilegious of saying rise, like, because I, you know, the only one that's risen is Jesus. But it just made me think, okay, I was humbled, very, very much humbled to sitting down. Like right now we're sitting down, we're eye level, we're open, we're this is the time you can reflect. This is the time where you can grow when you're sitting down, taking things in order to prepare for whatever your next step may be when that comes. So I'm like looking at this as a season of preparation and transformation and being not conformed to the way of this world in order to rise. Like, because it's hard. It's hard sometimes to live by faith. Sometimes it's hard, man. Especially when everything you see is not
bad,
like
bad, negative. You talked about being humble and grateful. That's why, like, I'm honored to have you on here. You're a man of faith, and you talk about it. Mm-hmm. You write about it. So, how long did it take you to write the book?
So initially, it was going to take about 6 months, but I got sick. I got really sick in 2023. I was in the hospital totally about 150 days, but
in
straight,
a
yeah, oh, straight geez. 128 from May 30th to October 4th. And I think it was October and November is when I was able to finish the final two chapters and, you know, go back and get everything else edited correctly. But I mean, the part of the process that was so difficult was, like, when I started writing this book, I was in a relationship, married, a stepdaughter, like, still in the middle, I would say the rising part of the story. We haven't gotten to the climax yet. And then after I got sick, I mean, just so many things changed and happened. By the time I finished writing the book, I was no longer married, no longer, you know, technically a stepdad, even though I still, you know, spend as much time as I can with her and just accepting through that time of being in the hospital so long of how weak we are, how fragile mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, like any pride that I had in that time was just like,
dude,
self-destructive. It was self-destructive to have pride in that time, but I was so, oh, I'm Patrick Young. Like, I don't get sick. This isn't going to be so bad. I don't want to be here. This is so, like, of course, nobody wants to be in the hospital. But I just, like, I couldn't accept the reality.
Not me.
Man, not me.
Not me.
Why? God, I got more important things to do for you. God, I have important things I could be doing for you, Lord. Like, why? You got me in this hospital? What are we doing here? And the greatest conviction I had gotten, and this is one that I really hope people can cling to, that can really affect us, like, the place that God has you in your life right now, like, that is the best place for you to be. Most important, you're like, you don't need to be on a stage to make an impact. You don't need to have millions of followers. Like, I felt convicted, and I didn't want to obey, because God, I'm in the hospital. I'm the one not feeling good. Hey, how about you be a light to every nurse and doctor and person that walks into that room for you? How about, that's what I want you to do, Lord. Or Patrick, that's what I want you to do. I want you to be a light. But I don't want to.
Yeah. That's not what I want.
And I wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But the conversations I was able to have with the CNAs, with the nurses, with the doctors, it changed so much to the point where actually today, because of a relationship I had with one of the psychologists at the hospital, she connected me with another patient recently that's younger kid that is going through a spinal cord injury like that.
Male or female?
Male.
You're going to change his life, Patrick.
And that's
immediately. You're going to change his life.
That's exactly what she said. And I'm like, life changing. Come on. It's like, of course, I mean, just the fact that he wants to talk to me and like I could be something. He's had no good community in his life. No good mentorship. And I'm like, man,
I got you.
Yeah. I got you, man. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Can you share the hospital this is at?
Oh, UF. I mean, UF. we only have a few major hospitals here in Jacksonville.
Were you going to Gainesville or here in Jacksonville?
The only hospital that I've never been to is Mayo.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to, I feel like you got to know somebody. I don't know. I love what they do and what they've, I just feel like it's hard to get there.
Were you going to Gainesville UF Health or Jacksonville's UF Health?
Jacksonville's.
In and out. Okay.
North campus and both campuses are fantastic.
Yep. They got some, UF Health has some incredible stuff happening in Jacksonville.
The only negative thing for UF Downtown, and they know this, is great. It's a great thing. They're building the new emergency room.
Yep.
They had to like cut off all the parking.
No matter where you go in a hospital, parking is terrible.
Oh.
Not healthy. Yeah. Well, parking in a hospital, not healthy.
Them and, you know, St. Vincent's, that's another place that I've gone to, a really good hospital. Such an old hospital.
Yep.
You know, they had an issue with the parking garage collapsing.
Dude, it's wild. So I work in healthcare. I got to be careful what I say, but I got to keep saying this over and over. You're just an inspiration, man. This is the first time we met. We met briefly in person, but like, how do we share this story, share the book and the public speaking? That seems to be kind of taken off or in the process. That's a grind.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was not ready. In talking about the one day runner-up mindset, I wasn't ready when I started, but I just felt like, because Andy Frischello, even though he curses way too much, he says some stuff that I'm like, man, that's good. Because he's like, I'm not a great articulate speaker. I'm not like this and that and politically correct all the time. But I know these two things. When I go up and I speak to my team or whatever, I'm trying to bring value and I'm helping. He said, as long as I bring that mindset towards everything I do, you know, it's forgiven that I might say something wrong or it might not sound perfect, because people are going to know that I'm being authentic. And that's like what I took on. Like, of course, I'm not Eric Thomas and I'm Inky Johnson, Tony Robbins, any of these guys that are like, I'm not them in terms of just being one of one. Like, we're all just, but in terms of where they are, like, they are just sharing their life and stories. And it's like, okay, I can do the same exact thing. And I'm going to, it's just amazing, man, how many ideas and thoughts really go through your head and the things you ponder after going through such a life change and the things that are more priorities than not anymore. Like I have about 5 to 6 real tight friends that's like my trust.
Yep.
You know, and I think before I didn't know how to value those people as much as I should have. And now it's like, community is community from the standpoint of having an advocate for yourself in healthcare. Like my mom, she was a nurse for 30 plus years. Her number one piece of advice to people that are going through health things or not, like just in general, said, do whatever you can to not have to go to the hospital. That's number one. And then if you do have to go, make sure you have an advocate for yourself. That you can advocate for yourself, ask questions, understand, or someone else.
I want to meet your mom.
Oh, man.
I have my whole mindset.
You like her way more than me.
Nah, well, probably. I love my mom.
You like my mom and my sister.
Everybody likes my mom and dad more than me, by the way. But my two biggest things about the hospital, you said it. The first thing you should do is everything you can to avoid having to need the hospital in the first place.
Yeah, man.
The second one is someone, whether it's that's in the hospital, family or friend, that knows how to help you navigate the healthcare system.
Yeah, without a doubt. Mm. And we know this too, medical bills are like the lead to homelessness in our country. So like,
number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical debt.
Medical debt, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Number one cause of bankruptcy.
Oh, and it's like a landslide of who's even in second country-wise. Like, it's so many. And I'm not going to, I don't know, universal advocate for universal healthcare. I'm just saying the fact that people aren't going homeless for not being able to pay their medical bills shows that something is not going right over here.
We might have to get that the second half.
Right?
I knew this would happen. This is my least favorite part is the time running out. Patrick Young, 100th episode. That's what the hell just happened.
Let's go.
Hey, welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. If you're catching us here on the radio show, missed the first half. Good news is you can catch the front half. I said first half like 3 times.
That works.
On the podcast. We're now on YouTube. We got a bunch of videos in here. Thank you, Trey. We're celebrating 100 episodes today with the man himself, Patrick Young.
That's fun.
We did a lot. We did a lot of cool stuff in the first half. Serious stuff. We did a lot more serious than I anticipated.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens the second half.
Yeah, I'm ready for the
healthy
the
or not speed. Healthy.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Let's, okay. healthy or not healthy, getting recruited to play college sports.
Healthy.
Okay. That's a bit of a question mark.
Healthy, very.
I like this one. Healthy or not healthy, playing for Coach Billy Donovan.
Very healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Healthy or not healthy, Googling yourself.
Unhealthy, extremely.
Have you done it?
I'm sure I've done it at some point. Come on, like who hasn't
everyone's
been,
done
who hasn't
it.
Been 15 years old and like MySpace and you know.
Healthy or not healthy, talking to a guy with your face printed on a T-shirt. Healthy or not healthy.
I didn't even know you did that.
I love this. Healthy or not healthy?
Dang, I want that shirt.
What size shirt do you wear?
I'm an XL.
Oh, dang it. I got a large in the back.
Jacked.
That's all right. That's not healthy.
Very healthy.
Okay,
very healthy. Extremely.
Healthy or not healthy, Brooks Rehab?
One of the most healthy things you can do of being a part of that organization that exists.
They do a good job.
Great job.
A couple more, I promise. Healthy or not healthy? What was it? Reflective?
Reflections. Reflections. Wound care and wellness center.
Super healthy.
AC Skinner. Super healthy.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah.
Healthy or not healthy? Writing a book.
That depends on the person, but for me, healthy. For me.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy? Public speaking.
Can be, but just like anything can turn into an idol, man. Anything can turn into a. You know, not doing it for the right reasons.
Yep.
So for me, it's been healthy.
Okay, last one. Healthy or not healthy, starting a nonprofit foundation.
If you don't have help, unhealthy. If you do, very healthy.
That's a
truth
that
bombs.
That is the perfect transition,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
When you started this, were you solo?
Yeah, I was pretty. So that would have been 2022 when one of my best friends, he had the idea of starting to found it. And it was going to be like a challenge mile thing first. And then we shifted into, as I learned and developed in the healthcare system through, you know, my lens of personal care. I was like, man, what about this area? What about that? What about the people that don't have insurance? What about people that they can and want to get back to driving, but they just don't have the money to do it? And all those ideas and things came up and I was like, all right, we have a big vision. Let's keep it simple. Let's help people that have been affected by life altering injuries. My first year, and I did have some help, but I would never recommend doing this unless it's just with a group of friends, but planning a golf tournament in six weeks.
That's a grind.
Was awful. That's why.
Where was it? Which golf?
We had the yards. The tournament and everything was fantastic. Like we did it. It was just. Oh, sorry about that.
Don't worry.
It was just getting to
wobbly table.
Getting to that point, I was on the phone every day from like 9 to 5.
Just that's a grind.
Emails for
not
all the
healthy.
Little things.
Not healthy.
Exactly.
Yes.
Not healthy. Yeah. This past year, having planned it out like 7-8 months beforehand, extremely healthy. Didn't have to like worry about having it sold out months before and
piece of cake.
Oh man.
You count us in next time, by the way.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
Money.
Oh, for sure.
Not sure what we'll do. Maybe Southampton again.
Yeah.
They're great, man. God,
yeah.
And their food's so good. They make
that
it
matters.
All in house.
That matters.
Does it?
What's your diet look like now?
Actually, which is interesting, you know, because of my wound care status and everything, I had to really up the protein.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, really? Man. If you don't have protein, and I get it for some people, it's hard to get it by eating. Like, my goal was trying to hit between 300 and 400 grams.
Whoa.
If you're not,
that's a lot.
It's a lot. If you're not drinking a lot of it through fluids, or like I love Frog Fuel, like those little 1 ounce packets of 15.
Free plug for
what
Frog
is that?
Hey,
Frog
dude.
Fuel.
Yeah, that's a different.
Well, it's a wound care product too. Like it says
that's
it on the back.
Gem.
That's why
yep.
I love that. I love it. It says, you know, take this 3 times a day for wound care. Like that's a quick. It's three ounces there gets you 45 grams of protein, just
no
like that.
Way.
For concept for people, like if you lift weights or exercise, you shoot for like 0.8 to 1.2 grams per pound.
Yeah.
So in wound care, you almost double that. You're talking about 300 to 400 grams of protein a day.
Dude.
You almost don't want to eat steak anymore, man.
I know that'll never happen.
No,
I got tired of the protein shake. There was this company that has a bulk protein, and gosh, at first when I'm looking at the back of it, and I'm like, okay, it's only two scoops. Two like huge scoops will get you 90 grams of protein, put other things in it to add that content. And then I realized, no, it's asking for 2.5 cups.
Oh,
of powder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
2.5 cups of powder in 32 ounces. But I mean, I would eat chalk.
It's
like, you had to add bananas and fruit, and, you know, it's vanilla, so you can add a little bit more fruit flavors to it than chocolate. But golly.
Oh, that's exhausting. Let's go.
It was like being an astronaut. Like being an astronaut, and when they got eat the same exact thing every day.
Or the dry ice cream. You ever have the freezer dried ice cream? Don't do it. That's what I imagine eating that much protein in milk is like eating this dried out chalky. Oh, golly. Not healthy, by the way. Let's pivot back.
That's how they get the protein out of the milk, right? Something with that process.
And that's above my pay grade. I'll be honest. I want to go back to the foundation. So there's a couple tiers of what you all are doing. You have your fundraisers, but what are you supporting? I think, right, spinal cord injuries is a big part.
Yeah. So the idea, again, of it behind it was to, and actually I have a card here so I can read it and articulate it very well. Scam likely, don't they always like
answer
to call?
Answer it.
No. Yeah, we show up for those who are lost in the darkness of their circumstance, illuminating the path to overcome their unique challenges, providing funding and resources that lead to living life without limitation. The chair is not your solution. I like saying that aspect at the end. You know, just being in, and I was talking to the kid earlier. I was like, some parts of your life are going to be changed and taken away. And, you know, you're more than allowed to grieve those things and miss those things. But there's an excitement because there's a new opportunity for you to find new ways of doing things, new things that you love. Just the challenge, like, because so many people, man, and you know it, we get stuck in a routine and never trying anything new, never branching out, never like.
The comfort crisis.
The comfort crisis.
Have you read that book?
I have not. Okay. But I heard this. It said, it was Comfortable Growth Will Kill You.
We'll talk about that book later.
Comfortable growth will kill you. Yeah. Because it's almost like a contradictory statement to say that. You don't grow when you're comfortable. You grow when you're getting challenged.
When you were on that basketball court, did you get better at hard practices or easy practices?
I got better when I embraced the challenge. And in basketball, and instead of like pouting or getting frustrated, you know, you just kind of toughen up and take it on. And, you know, I think what hurts a lot of people is we take so much personally, too, and that paralyzes us from being able to just focus on the task.
Yep.
You know, that and I'm so grateful. I learned a lot of great lessons through basketball, through Coach Donovan.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Too,
well, I think what happens, you know, and I think another great aspect of the foundation is the mental health and emotional health part of it, because a lot of men and boys are majority of spinal cord injuries, and, you know, hate to say it, but it's true. We know a lot of us graduate into manhood with like a fifth or sixth grade level of emotional intelligence.
That's being kind, by the way.
Yeah,
that's
being kind,
generous.
Yeah.
You know, and just think, if that's the level that you are, how do you take on, you know, mentally, emotionally, how do you take on something that's just so like confrontational of your life? Like, you need to have someone to talk to, healthy ways of becoming self-aware, like identifying, because sometimes like you might wake up and not know why I'm so frustrated, and that's okay. And sometimes you might not be able to explain it, but if like I had this thing called a feelings wheel, which helped me identify exactly what emotion I was feeling that day, because I always say this when I go and speak to like middle schools, I say, you know what, if you're in a car and you have your GPS, all perfect conditions, you know where you want to go. What do you need for your GPS to actually start? And they're like, gas, faith, hope. Just so I'm like, you need a starting destination.
That's you need all. Address.
You just need your, just like, you know, make sure that your shared location. In order for me to get from overwhelmed to peace, I need to make sure I can say I'm overwhelmed. Maybe like I'm doing too much right now. I need to take a step back, and just being able to communicate that, and especially in a way and with people that you know aren't judging you and want to help you get to the place that you want to go. And then having things you look forward to. Oh, my gosh. That couldn't be more huge when you're maybe in a season. And it's not the mindset of I can't wait to get out of this season and like not embracing where you are. It's like, OK, this is temporary situation that I'm in. I'm going to, you know, let me make the most out of now so I can take care of tomorrow. So, yeah, the foundation has been such a blessing. 3 years now, hoping for it to continue to grow. We have a golf tournament every year.
That's patrickyoungfoundation.com, right?
It's PY4foundation.org. Or if you just type in Patrick Young Foundation, it'll pop up.
I did.
You know, that's all you got to do. Yeah.
Then you have a website that's just patrickyoung.com.
Yep. Yeah.
I would say both of those, just to reiterate, PY4foundation.com and patrick.org, excuse me.
Yep.
And then patrickyoung.com,
yep.
Which there you can order the book.
Yep.
You can find you to come do talks and speeches, which are incredible, by the way.
And I don't want people to feel like, you know, it's not all just a business thing. I mean, there's been people that have reached out that maybe they're just going through something difficult and just want to talk to me, I've made friends through, you know, text messaging some people, like, and it's just amazing to realize how easy it is to help somebody. You know, when you get that opportunity, it's so easy. And like, there's people that I might've talked to them one time, and you just know that was impactful for them. And
that helps
me.
You too. Yes.
So I know it had to be impactful for them.
That's why I want to commend you, right? You raise your hand. Some people don't. If there's a request to talk to someone or introduce for speaking engagement, whether it's paid or not, you'll raise your hand and say, how can I help? How can I give back? That's
Because I think, you know, obviously I want to be responsible in using this platform that can help me, have some financial means. But like, that's not my main priority. It's like every time you get even doing this, like, who knows who's going to hear and be impacted and affected, right? I may never meet that person. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. Because I think, you know, you have to step up when the opportunities come, so it's making them a priority. Because sometimes we miss opportunity because we think it has to look a certain way. The only way I can impact is if I have this position. The only way I can do
if my
this
title
or that,
says
if my title
chief
says it,
on the front of it.
And it's like, you know, the greatest command, and this ties back into my help people bring value. I try to use this as the gauge and I need to do a better job of this. Can you, by making that decision and doing that thing, can you still love God and can you still love people? If ever the answer is no, then you don't go on that path.
Oh, that's good.
Cool. Right?
And can if you it still is, love God? Going. Can you still help people? Mm-hmm. If either of those is no, then that's a hard
pass.
No, or
even if you got to like, man, I'm going to have to work with those people all day. And it's going to be, maybe if that's where your heart's at, maybe that's not the right place for you.
You had, we talked about this in the commercial break. I love saying commercial break, right? Mental health.
Yeah.
Right now, that is, for the last 4 years, I think COVID mental health has spiked. Maybe it's always been around. But
right.
Like, how would you define, you don't have to, mental health, maybe some of your journey, and like, what would you recommend to people in your circumstances or others, anywhere?
I mean, I think of it as the same with mental health. It maybe that's not the right term in encompassing what we really mean when we're talking about mental health. I mean, it works for me. We just have used it so much these last few years.
It's like
we're such a country of extremes.
Oh yeah, oh my god.
Extreme on this one, then extreme the other way, and now okay, let's kind of meet. Maybe let's meet in the middle. There's so much money involved. Let's maybe not.
Hey, how can we use this term?
Gambling.
To get more? Oh yeah.
Think about sports with gambling.
Oh my.
Mention the word G. Mention the word bookie.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years ago, and now it's like
you got legal websites.
Oh my gosh.
On your phone right now. Yeah. Sorry, you know, now we're going to talk about gambling next, anyway, by the way. Yeah.
Anyways, what were you on before
mental
that?
Health. Like, we don't have to define it. You're right. It's such a broad and overused statement, but it's relevant. It's important.
Yeah.
So
I would say, I would leave it on this. I think we're so overstimulated at times by things on the outside externally that, you know, working on our mental health doesn't need to be something that's drastic. For those that have experienced trauma and difficulties, you might need a professional. But I think sometimes just like having an hour to yourself in the morning, 30 minutes to yourself before anybody else is pulling at your hair. You know, obviously it's going to be difficult for like moms, you know, that single moms and whatnot. But being able to like not put other people's needs in front of yours all the time, understanding that your cup needs to be filled up. You know, you only have so much energy you can give a day. And like, and look, everything doesn't need to be a project. You just have to be in a space, I think, where you, if you're struggling with your mental health, saying like, all right, this is where I am. What can get me out of this rut? Or is there something I need to do? Do I just need to sit in where I'm at? Do I need to talk? Like having just different outlets available. I'm not going to say there's just one way, but suppressing and pushing things down, I think it's hurt a lot of relationships and connections. And, you know, I look back and think about in my 20s, just how emotionally unavailable I was, and whether it was in relationships or whatever it may have been, like I could have done things so much differently. And I'm just grateful like we have today to learn about from yesterday, from what I did in the past, and to not make the same mistakes moving forward. So that's my mom always said that. She said, if you know better, you do better. But
I like your mom more and more, by the way.
But I'm telling, but you know, I'm a fool sometimes, you know.
Who's so, not?
I know, right?
Who's not? So you said something earlier too, like your community. You said five or six buddies. It's like, how I think community to me, real community, real friends.
Yeah.
Like, how much has that impacted you?
Well, I'll tell you a really cool story. So when I was in South Dakota after surgery, some of my friends, like everybody couldn't make it, but some of my friends came up to visit me, and it was coming up close on the 4th of July. And, you know, I will not say anybody's names or the name of this hospital, but most hospitals and wherever you are, to have rules against or laws against fireworks being near or on the
oxygen and fireworks don't mix,
just,
by the way.
Just,
yeah.
You know, they shouldn't be within like 500 feet of the hospital or whatever. So my friends went and got some fireworks because I had a great room with a huge window, but the fireworks were so far away. And my buddies went and they lit them up on a corner because they knew where our window was.
This is awesome.
And they just took off.
And ran.
And it was the best thing ever. Like, I every 4th of July, I text them since then. And I said, you know, this is a great 4th of July, blah, blah, blah. But nothing will ever replace the 4th of July in 2022. Like, nothing will ever replace. I will never have a greater greater 4th of July than that one right there.
You said it. You don't have to name names, but shout out to those guys, man.
Yeah, they know
who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
last five.
Time's
let's
five.
Get,
we got
you got
five.
Like a funny segment or something.
Well, let's do. What do you watch? Stand up comedy. What makes you laugh?
I like stand up comedy. I just need to listen to him more. I love Nate Bergazzi.
Nate Bergazzi's good.
Yeah, he's great.
The way he does it.
His whole
straight. Okay.
Straight face.
What about TVs or movies? Are you a Netflix guy?
I do a little bit of them all. Right now, I just finished Snowfall.
Dude, I'm on season 6. I got 3 episodes left. That's one of my favorite shows.
Really? Are you serious?
If anyone who's not watched Snowfall, I love that show. Do not tell me what happens.
Okay.
So
are you conflicted with the show because Franklin is not a good dude? If you like Breaking Bad or Ozark, like
Peaky
Snowfall is a show.
Peaky Blinders,
yeah, it's great.
I cannot believe you brought up Snowfall. My wife's like, "What?" She'll walk in, like, "What are you watching?" Like,
I'm sure she's like, "What the heck are you watching?"
So Franklin St. Clair, to me, that guy has to win some nominations for Emmys and Oscars.
Gosh, man.
The actor, his storyline, he's a bad dude.
Yeah.
But I love that show.
I just couldn't believe. I always thought at some point maybe his morality. And that's the thing, like, about, I mean, so many different arenas, like the thrill of the money, the profit over the harm that you could potentially be.
Great example.
And that, I mean, healthcare that ties systems, into healthcare and insurance, yep. Exactly what you like.
We call it Boeing. Ethical fading. Great example. Boeing. Great example.
Yeah, I love, man, you got to watch their documentary on Netflix. That. Oh my gosh. I could, like, it was some merger they had and they just started cutting every, yep, like safety
every
thing.
Every penny.
They had something on the plane that pilots, if they would have known, like those three planes that crashed, if they would have even known what was wrong or what was on, they had 10 seconds to like deactivate this thing.
Yo, we might get sued for talking about this, by the way. I'm really? Kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
It's on Netflix. So, but anyway, isn't that so wild?
Dude, I love it.
10 seconds to do something they had no idea.
That's another great documentary. What else you watch? So Snowfall, you threw it out. What have you watched recently? Like, yo, that's good show.
Gosh, I've watched a lot. Lioness is wild. I'm waiting to do Landman because I know that one's great. Anything Taylor Sheridan does is excellent.
Okay.
Anything I do. That's Yellowstone. That's
hit after hit.
Yeah, that's 1883, which was great too. That was good. With Toby Keith, yep, and Miranda Lambert. That was great.
Super good.
Shoot.
What about are you watching UF basketball right now?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you know what's great?
I love
the Bear.
The Bear?
Chef Show. Dude, this is hysterical. We're gonna have a whole episode talking about shows. Yeah, the Bear, that's incredible.
It's the best show. The best shows ever.
Who's your favorite character on that show?
Oh, man.
That's tough. That's putting you on the spot.
I
think the main guy is probably the best.
Oh, man. He needs some mental health.
Oh, for sure. Stuff. He needs some buddies lighting fireworks outside of his room.
But what drives me crazy about that show is that sometimes they're just so emotional, they don't really say what they need to say to each other.
Sounds like life.
Yeah, they're so emotional. And I'm like, man, I would say maybe Cousin. Maybe Richie's transformation through and just wanting to be a better man and all that stuff. Like that really, because he
was lost. You're throwing out great shows here. Before we wrap it up, any more shout outs? Because you gave some really good shout outs to a lot of good people. Anyone you can think of?
Gosh.
Hi, Mom. I always say hi, Mom. I love you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, big shout out to my mom. Gosh, I am so blessed. Even the nurse today that came to see me, she was like, you're so blessed to have such a great care team. Because my mom was a nurse for 30 something years. Like, she's been handling so much. And I feel bad. She kind of feels sometimes like I have to take on the responsibility of and it's like, no, you don't. But that's just a mom being a mom. Then my dad, my sister, my grandparents, all of my friends.
Where do you go to church?
I go to Elevate Life. And
shout
I go,
out Elevate.
And
Elevate
I go to
Life.
1122, both of those churches. I go to
both of those. Let's go,
both
Joby.
Of those churches, Joby and Tim Stayer.
Yeah.
Man, Tim Timberlake over at Celebrate. If he wasn't so far away, I'd go there too.
All right.
We got some great churches here in Jacksonville.
Nice. We really do. On that, man, I gotta say this to wrap it up. If I can find it. There it is. Proverbs 27:17. Do you know what that is? As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Thank you for being my iron. Like, this was, I enjoyed it. Maybe you'll come back. Maybe you won't. But how can we help spread the word?
I hope we can do it again.
Oh, you're always welcome, man.
Talk to TV shows.
Oh, yeah. We'll do a full episode on TV.
We can.
Patrick Young, that's what the hell just happened.